Lloyd Kramer now, playing For Lover's Sake, for Monitor listeners in love or out. I'm your announcer, and now, here they are. I'm Billy Jones. I'm Ernie Hare. We're the Interwoven Pair. How do you do? This is your Uncle Don. Yes, your Uncle Don. Hello, little friends. Hello, jump on the Manhattan merry-go-round. We're touring, alluring old New York. Hello, hello, the RKO, bringing you this message on the radio. You see, there's no one to introduce me. This is Tony Randall, and I have to do it all myself. Announcer and host. And so there you are, sitting in for regular host Joe Graggiola. On a weekend in which, in addition to all the regular features, there's special coverage of commuter problems here and abroad. No problem at all, the singing of Beverly Wright. Wonderful, wonderful.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. A kiss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare. Then your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful, oh so wonderful, my love. Sometimes we stand on the top of a hill, and we gaze at the earth and the sky. I turn to you, and you melt in my arms. There we are, darling, only you and I. What a moment to share. It's wonderful, wonderful, oh so wonderful, my love. This world is full of wondrous things, it's true. I sit by your side, and we're lost in a world of our own. I feel the glow of your unspoken love. I'm aware of the treasure that I own.
Hi, this is Marilyn May with the one and only Ella Fitzgerald singing my Lincoln Mercury song. This is a first.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? See Lincoln Mercury's exciting marquee. It's pure luxury. Drive one of the when a marquee is lush. Hats of roomy and plush in a continental way. It's stunning design, really set 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquee makes it clear we've got the winners this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Thanks, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a great way to tell everybody about Marquee, the most beautiful thing that ever happened to a medium-priced car. Marquee, at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
This week, Monitor is examining in considerable depth and range, which means probably for as much as 30 seconds, that daily torture known as commuting. Earlier, we heard about freeway problems in Los Angeles, ferryboat commuting from Staten Island to Manhattan. What about some of the woes facing those who live in the Philadelphia area, which in itself is bad enough? A report now from Jules Rind.
We who live here must put up with inadequate parking facilities. On-street parking clogs the downtown area because the streets are narrow. Only one expressway leading into mid-city, the Schuylkill Expressway, has been renamed by critics the Schuylkill Crawlway. At least 25 people killed there in 1966, more last year. A tie-up is the norm, not the exception here in the city.
As one who drives into work regularly, I am continually being bugged by the seemingly inefficiency of the government, the city particularly, in their streets planning. They'll decide to dig up a main thoroughfare at 8 o'clock in the morning in the midst of the rush hour. And there you are. You're stuck in a place for a half, three quarters of an hour, sometimes an hour. And it's all because there's no coordination between the city and the driving habits of the people.
My main gripe is that the train is always late. And they are overcrowded. And everybody's standing in the aisles.
Where I live, there's no high-speed system in the center of town, so I must wait for a bus. The first one comes along, it's so filled that I haven't sat down in 5 years coming into work.
The thing that bothers me most is the fact that cars will break down on the road, and it seems to take them forever to get them out of the way. And traffic is jammed up for hours because of it.
There's always a delay. It never fails, no matter which route I select. I live 14 miles. It takes me about 40 minutes, 40 to 50 minutes.
I have my own gripe. It doesn't happen every day, but this past Thursday, leaving for my job at 8, I didn't get here until 10. What's the answer to all these transit problems in the fourth largest city in the country? More and better public transportation. Easy access routes for the highways. Staggered work shifts. But we here in the Quaker City are a long way off from all of these. From the city of brotherly love, this is Jules Rind reporting for Monitor.
That's not your only problems down there, Jules. I think Philadelphia has the worst water in the United States. This is not a joke. We actors who have to try out shows out of town are just to anticipate getting ill when we're in Philadelphia. That's on the level. However, you make up for it with Frankie Bradley's Steakhouse, which is, I think, the best steakhouse in the United States. And sometimes the opera's pretty good. All this talk about commuting, we'll be hearing more throughout the weekend from other metropolitan centers as well as major foreign cities. All this talk reminds me of a commuting problem I had from Fire Island some time back. And if we find time, I'll tell you about it as we go along here. Right now, music, Let It Be Me, Fiat Ego, as those of us who are apt to break into Latin are wont to say. The latest from Bobby Gentry and Glenn Campbell.
Today I found you. I want to stay. Someone
there's another reminder that no salt salts like Morton salt. Salt. Unprovable. And another reminder, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
If you thought the movie was something, wait till you hear the original soundtrack album of Oliver. The whole thing happens all over again with every song. Listen.
As long as he needs me.
And how about this for action?
Don't give me a help.
What a score. What an album to buy on Cold Gems Records or on Stereo 8 cartridge tape from RCA. If you liked Oliver, you'll love Oliver.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Tony Randall again as Monitor moves on. I wonder why they call this program Monitor, because we're not monitoring anything. You're monitoring us. Is that it out there? I was going to tell you about my commuting problems to Fire Island, which is a resort. Oh, some 40, 50 miles from New York City. I suppose it's the best beach I've ever seen in my life. Its best feature, aside from the beach, is that there are no cars there, so you have to take a bus or a train all the way out to Long Island and then a boat across, and it takes a long while. But if you fly, and you can from the city, then it's only about 20 minutes, which beats anything. And you look up air taxi service in the Yellow Pages, and there are about 20 or 30 of them. You'd be amazed. And they all come into 23rd Street and East River when you call them up. So that's what I used to do. And the first time I did it was a commuting problem such as I've never seen. I was standing down. It was just a little raft out. You walked down some steps, and there you were in the middle of the river, really, on a raft, half underwater. And I waited for the plane to come, and I couldn't see it coming. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, there it was, a little plane. He taxis up. He gets out, and he was wearing only blue jeans, the pilot, and dark glasses. He had no shirt on, and he had no shoes on. He said, "Who's all this luggage?" I said, "It's mine." He said, "And the girl?" I said, "Yeah, that's my wife. She goes, too." He said, "Well, I can take your wife and you, or I can take your luggage and you, but I can't take it all." He said, "It's too heavy." He said, "Oh, the hell with it," he said. "Come on, get in. Hold your wife on your lap." So we get in the... We get in the plane, and he starts the engine, and we go, whoom, and we stand there. He says, "Forgot to untie it from the dock." He said, "I tell you, I'm not awake today." Like that, he said. So then we start off, he gets out, and he casts off from this little half-floating dock, and I can't finish this story, huh, because we don't have enough time. Finish it the next time. So we start up the river, and It has no springs. It just takes off on these pontoons, and it bounces. It snaps your neck. And as we passed the UN building at 40th Street, we passed it on around the level of the third floor, which is very frightening. And now the 59th Street Bridge is coming straight at our eyes. And he said, "Boy, I sure hope I make the bridge." I said, "What happens if you don't?" He said, "Well, I get a ticket if I go under it." So we made the bridge. Just by inches, we just made the bridge. And now I'll continue this story later.
Motor Trend magazine has just named the 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner as Car of the Year. Listen to just a few of the reasons. Power from a standard 383 cubic inch, 335 horsepower wedge V8 engine. Smooth, fast shifts with a standard floor-mounted Hurst four-speed gearbox. Fantastic handling from Red Streak wide tread tires and a heavy-duty suspension, both standard. And, of course, a...
Meep, meep.
Horn, just to let people know what's past. These are a few of the features that are standard on the great Roadrunner, and a few of the reasons Motor Trend chose the Bird as its Car of the Year. There's only one place to catch the Car of the Year, at your Plymouth dealer.
So now I notice he's looking from left to right through these murky, dark glasses he has on. He keeps rolling his head at 180 degrees. And I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, we're flying right through the flight patterns of Kennedy and LaGuardia." He said, "Keep an eye out for big planes, will you?" And that's exactly what he's doing. He's flying only about 200 feet above the ground. He has no radio. Today they have radios in these things, but 4 or 5 years ago they didn't. And we finally... You point where you want to go, and that's hard to do, too, because it doesn't look from above the way you expect it would. And I said, I think my house is right there. And he puts down right in the water, right by it, again with his slapping. But first he says, help me turn this, will you? And there's a crank in the ceiling, and it takes both of us to turn it to get the nose of the plane down. And we land, and we bounce in, again snapping your neck. And I opened the door to get out, and the door fell off the plane. He said, everybody does that. He said, you see these straps? That's what you're supposed to hang on when you get out of the plane, but everybody hangs on the door, and they tear it off its hinges. I can fix it. And now I see why he's wearing only blue jeans, because he jumps into the water and helps us ashore and carries our bags ashore. So it's practical, not as messy as it looks. He said, when you get ashore, he said, will you give the plane a little push for me? So we give it a push, and then I wade ashore the rest of the way. When I turn around, he's gone. He's just zoomed right out of sight that fast. Anyway, the latest in the long list of informative monitor features, and I know you've been waiting, Capitol Hill Monitor, in which you meet some of the new legislators, as well as some of the more established members of Congress. A profile now of Representative Benjamin Rosenthal, Democrat of New York. From Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
Almost every congressman carves out some legislative area as his special province. A young representative from New York City, Democrat Benjamin Rosenthal, is rapidly establishing a reputation as the consumer congressman. He has sponsored bills and conducted investigations on a wide variety of issues designed to give greater safety and protection against fraud, believing the consumer has been the forgotten American.
When I first came to Congress in 1962, I served on the House Committee on Agriculture, which is a kind of a unique situation for someone coming from New York City and from an urban area. And while serving on that committee, I began to seek out areas that I could be more useful or more effective in. And one of the areas I slid into...
Rosenthal's current pet project is a bill to establish a cabinet-level consumer affairs department. He thinks it will come despite obstacles in Congress.
Congress is a slow-moving creature of archaic institutions and mores and bylaws. And the main reason for this is not that the membership is inadequate, because it isn't. In my judgment, the membership in the House, where I'm most familiar with, is a really competent, dedicated, able group of men. But we're creatures of habit and creatures of comfort. We're a very comfortable institution. Everything about our daily activities is sort of superseded by our own personal conveniences.
Rosenthal's advice to consumers is to pay attention to what is bought.
I really wish that every American housewife, if she had some cornflakes or cereal left over from last year, would go out and buy the similar can or carton today, and in 99 out of 100 cases, she would find that the contents are smaller, the package is smaller, and the price is higher.
Congressman Benjamin Rosenthal of New York, a champion of the consumer's cause in Congress. Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
You'll hear of more of Capitol Hill Monitor tomorrow, when the subject will be Morris Udall, Democratic congressman from Arizona.
This is the famous Miller High Life theme. A reminder that Miller makes it right. Always hearty, robust, deep down good. Always the champagne of bottled beer.
Milwaukee.
tune titled Big Red, which has nothing to do with tall communists, I'm sure. That was Man of War's nickname. At any rate, it's one of the newest from the Baja Marimba Band, and if you're located in the South Carolina Lowcountry, you are headed over Charleston's NBC station WOKE, whose slogan is, A friend by your side when you go for a ride. Keep both hands at the wheel. Side now, Tony Randall, consider me your friend too. Shooby-doo.
Measles is not a kid's disease when you're starving. It's fatal. The starving children in the secessionist area of Biafra were facing the possibility of a full-scale measles epidemic this winter when UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, stepped in. UNICEF secured 100,000 doses of vaccine from one manufacturer, injection devices from another, and refrigeration units from its own stocks. And with the help of voluntary agencies and the Red Cross, the shipment arrived in time to curb the measles epidemic threatening the lives of the 2 million children in the area. UNICEF could move quickly because it's been bringing aid to sick and hungry children all over the world for 21 years. UNICEF has been helping get food and medicine to the victims of the Nigerian Civil War for over 13 months. You can help too. Please send your contribution to UNICEF, care of United Nations, New York, 10017.
Spend the night with Long John Nebel and his friends. You'll find a new day has dawned. Midnight to 5 a.m. on WNBC Radio 660 New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 3:30, 38 degrees in New York and cloudy. Mayor Lindsay has given the New York City landlords 21 days to come up with plans for rolling back rents in non-controlled apartments. In an unprecedented appeal this morning at City Hall, Lindsay asked for a freeze on all apartment rents until landlords submit plans for the rollback and for voluntary self-regulation. The mayor said rent-gouging realtors are forcing residents into the suburbs. He said if landlords don't comply, he'll seek legislation to control rents in the 700,000 apartments not controlled by the city. Lindsay spoke after a morning meeting with about 40 real estate representatives who, according to the mayor, bitterly opposed the rollback. This afternoon, an industry spokesman, Ralph Gross of the Commerce and Industry Association, said the mayor's ultimatum was shocking. On Long Island, the Great Neck School Board today approved a hotly debated plan to bus between 45 and 60 Negro youngsters from neighboring Queens to attend classes in predominantly white Great Neck schools. A referendum on the issue was held Thursday, but a number of voting machines broke down and the exact count could not be determined. This afternoon, in a stormy and at times disorderly meeting, the board voted 3-2 in favor of starting the busing program in September. Another commuter boycott is brewing on the embattled Long Island Railroad. Here's a report from WNBC newsman John Wolfe.
Those plagued by commuter troubles on the Long Island Railroad will have their chance to show their distaste. A group led by Morton Batlin has organized a boycott of the Long Island from February 8th through the 14th. I asked Batlin what the railroad's reaction was, whether they were giving him the horse laugh.
I think their silence has given us that horse laugh because they have not contacted us. In fact, I have spoken to people in their public relations department a number of times, and I said, how come no one has attempted to contact us? And they just brushed it off. No one has contacted us or made any attempt to do it.
What do you expect to achieve with this boycott?
The basic purpose of the boycott is to dramatize the plight of the passenger. After that, we'll use this as an instrument to attack the legislature to try to get proper legislation to make the MTA a working organization. We want good management. We want good railroad people to run the railroad, and we want to see a better relationship between management and the union.
The group hopes to have at least 75% of the Long Island's riders use other ways to get to work next week. Whether Batlin's right or not remains to be seen. John Wolfe, WNBC News.
That leaking undersea oil well in the Southern California Santa Barbara Channel has been plugged with cement. The flow of tons of black oil onto luxury beaches and into yacht harbors has been cut off at the source. Engineers and hundreds of workers now begin the massive cleanup job. Mechanical problems aboard a Titan IIIC rocket has forced a one-day postponement in attempts to launch the world's largest military communications satellite. Blastoff from Cape Kennedy is now rescheduled for 4:09 p.m. tomorrow. Senator Fred Harris of Oklahoma, the new Democratic National Chairman, has appointed two committees to carry out party reforms. Senator George McGovern of South Dakota will head a commission on party structure, and Congressman James O'Hara of Michigan will head up a rules commission. Harris has called upon GOP Chairman Ray Bliss to pick similar committees to help modernize the electoral process. President Nixon is in Florida at his Key Biscayne retreat this weekend to mix business with relaxation. Right now it's 38 degrees and cloudy in New York. And again, the top story, Mayor Lindsay gives New York City landlords 21 days to come up with plans for rolling back rents in non-controlled apartments. Frank Gorin, WNBC News, now back to Monitor.
This is Tony Randall, your Monitor host on this second Saturday in February, 1969. I said February. It's part of a lifelong campaign of mine to pronounce the second R in February with an updating of a Monitor goose rhyme, to wit. And I didn't write this myself, I must admit. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill said to heck with him. Anyway, here are four other Jacks she found. They started a singing group. Here's their latest, A Stone in My Shoe.
I was a-hurrying through the park to get home before it got too dark. Then because of the pain in my toe, found I had to walk a little slow. Then somebody said, how'd you do? Say, you think you got a stone in your shoe? Though it's like a boulder lean upon my shoulder while I find the little stone in your shoe. Ooh, a stone in my shoe. If it wasn't for the stone, I would have never met you. Ooh, a stone in my shoe. If it wasn't for the stone, I would have never met you.
It's the first R in February I want people to start pronouncing. This weekend, Monitor is covering one of professional golf's major tournaments, the Bob Hope Desert Golf Classic at Palm Springs, California, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation. We'll have a progress report in just a moment.
This is Bob Hope, complete with hard top, fast back, and bucket seat, which is pretty appropriate since I'm going to talk about an exclusive from Chrysler Corporation. It's called Customer Care, and it comes as standard equipment on every Chrysler-built car. Customer care covers more problems than a security blanket, and it starts from the time they fasten the first bolt on your brand new car. When they say they don't build them like they used to, it's a cinch they're not talking about Chrysler Corporation, because their quality control begins from the time your car is nothing more than a gleam in an engineer's eye. And everyone works with just one idea in mind, to see to it that the beauty of Chrysler-built cars is a lot more than only skin deep. And it sure pays off for both you and Chrysler. Because no matter how much the new models change from year to year, one thing at Chrysler stays the same. And that's the quality of the product. Why not sample it yourself? Try a little customer care at your Chrysler Plymouth or Dodge dealer soon.
Now the Bob Hope Desert Classic. A slight pause while we switch to the Indian Wells Country Club in Palm Desert, California.
For instance,
for NBC Monitor.
NBC Monitor, Danny Thomas is standing here smoking a St. Jude cigar.
What? A St. Jude cigar. Comes wrapped in a blanket. With...
Hey, you just knocked a putt in, too, there. You got a big crowd
well,
in for you?
Well, every once in a while. That's my new seeing eye ball. Seeing eyeball? Well, I was putting with a mallet.
Who do you play with today?
Today I'm with Doug Sanders, who's wearing purple slacks, orange jockey shorts, and torn sneakers, if you'll notice. There's no joy in his feet today.
And you played with Lee Trevino this week.
Yeah. Lee. Yesterday I played with Lee. Nice. At the water holes, we lost him. He kept swimming for Colorado. Once a Mexican, always a Mexican.
Jack, how do you like playing golf?
We had Moon Mullins first day.
Moon Mullins.
And Gasoline Alley. And Skeezicks and a gang.
How do you like playing golf in front of thousands of people?
Notice, as they announce my name, I faint. Watch this. No, it's a little scary. Once you get started, it's all right. Then the crowd just becomes a half an audience. But the beginning is murder.
You got all the shots.
I shook for four holes. Huh?
You have all the shots.
Somewhere in my bag, there's a golfer hidden, but he'll never get out.
Jack, thanks, and good luck today.
Okay. Gee, I hope it's a regular network, and I wouldn't fool around with Monitor, would you?
That was Jack Carter. We talked to him earlier at the practice putting green today. Out on the course, we repeat, our new leader is Lee Trevino at 9-under par, followed by Orville Moody and George Knutson at 8-under for the tournament. Rod Funsith, yesterday's leader, has lost 3 strokes to par. He's at 7-under, along with Frank Beard, Bill Casper, Gene Littler, and Art Wall. This is Frank Dill for Monitor Sports.
My, that was exciting. We'll have further progress reports throughout the weekend, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation. Now a word about Dodge.
This is Joe Garagiola. The grueling Union Pure Oil performance trials at Daytona are over. And one name dominated the headlines. Dodge. In this NASCAR-sanctioned test of acceleration, fuel economy, and braking, Dodge was overall winner in 3 classes. Polara in Class 2, Monaco in Class 3, and Charger RT in Class 8. And Charger RT also beat all 60 cars in acceleration. And a dart swinger was tops in economy. A big win for Dodge. And another big reason to see your Dodge dealer today.
We are wandering, we are wandering, like the shadows of the sun. Never quite the same at evening as when morning had begun. Tasting wine from many vineyards, testing truth from many shores, looking into funhouse mirrors, looking out of prison doors. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand, reaching in to find a meaning, reaching out to touch a searching, we are searching in the tea leaves on a spoon, placing palms upon a table, charting phases of the moon, tearing cobwebs from illusions, spinning new ones in their place, finding solace in the chalice or forgiveness in a face. Changing, changing, ever changing, like the waves upon the sand, reaching in to find a meaning, reaching out to touch a hand. We are drifting, we are drifting through the pathways of the stars, seeking answers from the rainbows in refrigerated jars, staring voiceless at the ceiling as the jasmine candles burn, trading gold dust in for mushrooms, no deposit, no return. Changing, changing, ever changing,
Ed Ames with Changing, Changing, part of the constantly changing weekend world reflected by the Monitor Beacon.
Something for everyone? Believe it. On the New York Hilton's International Promenade, like the old Bourbon Steakhouse, where the gang makes those sizzling steaks, prime ribs of beef, and delicious drinks. Something French? Mais certainement. How about the Hilton's Place Lautrec for the answer? Authentic French cuisine and an authentic Paris bistro. And no general. Dance? Cut loose to the Joan St. James Trio in the continental setting of the Hilton's Roman Pub, where it's fun time all the time. But if you'd prefer something a little more on the intimate side, take her over for appetizers and exotic hors d'oeuvres in the dim oriental splendor of the Kismet Lounge. It's all happening along the New York Hilton's International Promenade, Avenue of the Americas at 53rd. Believe it. See you there.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Monitor moves on, as does time, as if we had a choice. Tony Randall here at Radio Central, lending a helping hand as host, while the Vogues chip in with a couple of choruses of Woman Helping Man.
Chases a girl until she catches him. But this is one thing he should never see. And the love for her man makes a woman understand.
The world, focusing this weekend on the problem that plagues cities both at home and abroad, commuting. A report now from Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
Italy has done a superb job of providing long-haul transportation facilities, but the traffic problem in the cities is horrendous and maybe even insoluble. Despite objections from Italy's big communist party that the money would be better spent on schools and hospitals, successive Italian governments have built superhighways, which now run the full length of the peninsula from toe to top. Other no-speed-limit toll highways crossing the peninsula are now under construction. Long-distance trains are comfortable and run on time, and domestic plane service is good without long delays in circling airports. So much for the pleasant side. The situation in the cities is bad and getting worse. There seems no way to reconcile the preservation of antiquities with the rapid growth in car ownership. Some commercial interests would like to knock down the ancient walls of Rome and perhaps even turn the Colosseum into a parking lot, but happily, responsible Italians are determined to defend their patrimony. There's been almost no progress in building underground garages and subways because every time excavation begins, an ancient Roman catacomb or Caesar's palace is encountered, and the law requires that ancient ruins be preserved. Certain areas of the city have been barred to automobiles, but this simply moves the traffic jams further from the center of the city. Italians talk about the traffic even more than the weather, and they seem equally helpless in doing anything about either. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
Monitors ring around the world. It occurred to me while listening to Irving R. Levine in Rome that one Italian city that doesn't have quite the same problem, at least doesn't have the car problem, is Venice. They do have a problem, though. They have the Vaporetto, which is a motor bus that goes up and down, and it makes big waves, and there are an awful lot of gondolas being replaced by motorboats making big waves, which are helping to tear down the buildings. It's awful, Luigi. This is the third time this week the 805 gondola to the Rialto has been late. Enough of commuter problems for the time being, at least.
He loves me. He loves
me. He's sending you a Valentine candy and flowers arrangement through his nearby FTD florist.
He loves me.
Yes, a somewhat less ecstatic young lady next, Margaret Whiting, who bewails an unrewarding past in Where Was I? A word of caution, however. It's only a song. Keep that in mind, please.
There were lovers in meadows when I was a young, young girl. Loving, delighting, as only young lovers can. Clinging to kisses that carry them to the sky. Where was I? Where was I? Where was I? There were lovers on mountains when I was a young, young girl. Started when time began, so warm the night wind that hurried by. Where was I? Where was I? Where was I? Trusted my fears, reached out when they said, reach out. No one, but no one would ever have heard.
Thank you. Here's a monitor tip for motorists. At this time of the year, sand is often used on highways to counteract snow and ice and provide better traction. But when the snow and ice are gone, the sand remains, and then it becomes a driving hazard, which can cause skidding and make cars hard to stop. So keep an eye out for accumulations of sand on the road and slow down. Slow down when you see them and get out and sweep them off the road, or pick them up with sheets of fly paper and make your own sandpaper. Now this from State Farm.
I'm Al Capp, and for years I've been saying that State Farm Mutual has agents almost everywhere in the United States to help you wherever and whenever you need help. Well, I just heard of a town that doesn't have a State Farm agent, so I'd like to offer my condolences to the people of Two Guns, Arizona, both of them.
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Tijuana Brass and Monday. And speaking of Monday, it should be a lively one on Long Island, New York. Commuters are beginning a boycott of the Long Island Railroad and commuter service, largest in the world. Appropriately enough, this weekend, Monitor is giving special coverage to commuter problems here, there, and everywhere. Latest NBC News shortly. I'm your guest host, Tony Randall.
Hello there, this is Jack Hayes with news of what's happening in town. The New York Choral Society is presenting a Mozart festival in Philharmonic Hall at Lincoln Center on Friday, February 14th at 8:30 p.m. If you'd like further information, simply call this number, 866-1111. Now through April 6th at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, see Harlem on My Mind, the story of the cultural capital of Black America. This multimedia exhibition documents the changes in urban black culture decade by decade through films, photographs, music, and voices that recreate the history of Harlem as it happened from 1900 till today. And oh, one more thing. The touring company production of the hit musical Funny Girl will be presented in Memorial Auditorium, Montclair State College, February 14th at 8:30 p.m. under the auspices of the College Life Union Board. Tickets may be obtained through the Office of Student Activities. The number, 746-9500, extension 312. What NBC News is to the nation, WNBC News is to New York. Worldwide or citywide, our coverage is complete on WNBC Radio 660, New York.